From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, devastating tornadoes ripped through Alabama and other parts of the South over the weekend. Samaritan's Purse is already on the ground. Edward Graham joins us later from Alabama with an update. And bracing for a no-collusion finding by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. House Democrats are casting a wider net with their own investigation.
We have to lay out for the American people, and we can't depend on the Mueller investigation for this. The Mueller investigation, number one, we don't know when it's ending, despite lots of rumors. Number two, it's focused on specific crimes, and we have to focus much more broadly on abuses of power.
That was Congressman Jerry Nadler of New York, the new chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, yesterday on ABC This Week. Well, just how far will they go and what might they be able to do? A Republican member of the House Judiciary Committee, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert, is here with those answers. And in all of the talk of socialism and millennials, is everyone using the same definition? We'll talk about it with pollster Scott Rasmussen. What he has to say might surprise you. Also, remember how the persecuted religious minorities from the Middle East were underrepresented in asylum numbers of the Obama administration? Well, that has all changed. CNS News Chief Terry Jeffrey is here to lay out the new numbers for you. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Hey, let me remind you, if you've not yet joined the effort to convey a message to Nancy Pelosi that infanticide, the murder of born babies, is beyond what we will tolerate. Go to TonyPerkins.com and join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. You can be a part of sending a strong message that she cannot deny. We're going to send 90,000 of these newborn baby hats, these thermal hats that are placed on the heads of babies when they're born, suggesting, making very clear that babies should be protected and welcomed into the world, protected by our laws, not murdered on their birthday. So go to TonyPerkins.com and join that effort. Hey, by the way, I mentioned this several weeks ago, but let me remind you that coming up March the 15th and 16th, that's just 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, General Jerry Boykin and myself will be leading a men's conference along with our friends at First Baptist Church in Houma, Louisiana. And I invite you to join us. Now, if you don't know where Houma is, then you probably can't get there. Just say this way. You can't go any further south than Houma, Louisiana. Great place for seafood. In fact, we've got a crawfish boil. We'll have plenty of good seafood there. Come and be a part of it to find out more. And you can come spend the weekend. Be a great guys' weekend. Men, come over. Stand in the gap for our country, for our families. Find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over to the men's Stand in the Gap event at Houma, Louisiana, First Baptist Houma, coming up March 15th and 16th. Okay, the Democrat-led House Judiciary Committee will seek documents from more than 60 people and organizations as it begins investigations into possible obstruction of justice and abuse of power by President Donald Trump. That, according to Jerry Nadler, the new chairman of the committee, speaking this weekend on ABC This Week with Mr. Stephanopoulos. Well, Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the 1st District of Texas, also serves on the House Judiciary Committee, and not surprisingly, believes this is a waste of time. Congressman Louie Gohmert, True Blue Award recipient, 100% on family issues, joins us now on the Washington Watch Hotline. Louis, good to talk with you.
Hey, Tony, always good to talk to you on or off the phone. But you're right, though. The Judiciary Committee, now led by the Democrats, because they now have the majority, is going to pursue this bogus, ridiculous obstruction of justice. I'm surprised that that's where Jerry is choosing to go, because that was so weak, even among those who didn't know anything about the Russian collusion, is there evidence or not. But everybody knew that Rosenstein had done a memo basically saying Comey is a problem. He has not been candid, and justifying the firing of Comey. And in fact, there you have Rosenstein then becomes the one that appoints a special counsel to investigate the president for obstruction of justice because the president did what he basically recommended. That it is just so ludicrous. But now I can understand when your number one goal is political and it is not the good of the country, then you go, you're seeing after Cohen's testimony, there really and truly is nothing to these Russian allegations involving Donald Trump. He never conspired. That's a crime. He never colluded, which is not a crime. He talked to him about possibly having a building there. But if you look, and this has been pointed out by others, but if you will look at something that was written back in 2007 by Glenn Simpson, he wrote about the undue influence of Russia in our elections. And basically in 2016, he redoes the op-ed and fills in Trump, who was not present in the 07 article, and makes it all about Trump and Russia, basically. And so now that it's become clear to most anybody that has ears and eyes that there's nothing to the Russian allegations involving Trump, well, certainly you fall back to the obstruction, even though that's the weakest and most easily provable or was. Now the Russia will be easily disprovable.
Well, let's dissect Jerry Nadler's comments yesterday with Mr. Stephanopoulos on the ABC This Week. I played this clip. It was a short clip. But let's play that clip again of Nadler yesterday.
We have to lay out for the American people, and we can't depend on the Mueller investigation for this. The Mueller investigation, number one, we don't know when it's ending, despite lots of rumors. Number two, it's focused on specific crimes. And we have to focus much more broadly on abuses of power.
Okay, I want to ask you a series of questions here, Congressman Gohmert.
Sure.
The Mueller investigation actually was a widespread. In fact, that's how we got all of these other people caught up into this investigation. Those that have been accused of crimes, those that have pled guilty to crimes thus far, have nothing to do with collusion. They are ancillary, peripheral to this investigation. Yep. So the investigation that Mueller did was not narrowly focused. Is that correct?
No, absolutely correct. It's the most far-ranging jurisdiction that's ever been given to a special counsel. And so basically Mueller's using it to pursue anything and everything that will continue to keep him from being the focus of an investigation.
So Nadler says, the chairman of the committee says, we have to have a wider net than Mueller. I mean, what is he going to use, a drift net? I mean, what is he going to, I mean, there would be no bounds to what Congressman Nadler is suggesting the Judiciary Committee do.
And that's exactly what he's suggesting. They're going to keep digging until they find something, anything, because the whole, reputation of what's left of it, of the Democratic Party, is relying on all of those they've convinced across the country that there was Russia collusion. They see that doesn't happen, so they've got to come up with something, and that's what Nadler's trying to do.
Well, now, you were a state judge in the state of Texas.
Yes.
For a number
right.
of years. You're an attorney. You served on the bench as a judge. And when you decided you wanted to make policy, you did what judges should do. You stepped off the bench. You ran for Congress. And now you're a policymaker.
Right.
But
right.
I wanted to quote Mr. Nadler, chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He says, it is very clear that the president obstructed justice. He said, Nadler said, and I'm quoting from, I think this is a Hill piece. He said it was too soon to consider whether impeachment should be pursued. However, he goes on to say, before you impeach someone, you have to persuade the American public that it ought to happen. Now, I thought you impeached a president when they committed a crime, not when public opinion said that you should impeach
exactly.
Them.
It's they have to have committed a high crime or misdemeanor. And, you know, there's certain things over the years that have been spelled out. In the case of Trump, they want him out. And so it's, you know, some of the worst dictators in the world have said, you show me the man and I'll show you the crime. You investigate anybody long enough and deeply enough, and especially with the crimes we have under federal law now, where you don't even have to know you committed a crime or that somebody
right.
did
exactly.
it on your behalf. They can still go after. So they'll be looking for anything, whether Donald Trump knew it was happening or not, to try to pursue him. And that's what they're trying to do. They've convinced 40% or so of Americans that he committed a crime with Russia. Never mind, there's absolutely no evidence. The evidence shows 100% the other way. They got to find a crime, and they're looking. It's amazing they haven't found one.
Well, I want to take issue with that, because I don't think they're looking for a crime. I think they're trying to convince the public that a crime occurred, whether it did or not, just so that they have political support to try to impeach the president. They're not concerned about justice. They're not concerned about what's right or wrong. They're concerned about building a case. I mean, they want the public to demand that the president be impeached. Because, look, Louis, you know this. I know this. If right is right and wrong is wrong, then regardless of what the public would think, if a crime was committed, then the president should be impeached. It doesn't matter where the public stands on it,
right.
But that's not what they're saying.
That's right. And Nadler, though, he is trying to find something they can hang their hat on, and they know that so far nothing has come out that there would be a basis for impeaching the president. But, Tony, they've convinced millions, tens of millions of Americans that a crime was committed, but there's no evidence of one.
Yeah,
they've
but those are probably the same.
Something.
Those are probably the same people that voted for Hillary Clinton, too. I mean, they would believe anything.
Some have come to the other side now because they see what a total miscarriage of justice is going on.
If Robert Mueller, with an unlimited bank account and a host of attorneys for 2 years, could not prove anything on this president, which is what we think so far based upon what we're hearing from this report, it's unlikely that this committee could get anything to stick either, because it just there's nothing there.
Right. But they have got to have the investigation keep going to keep people thinking there must be something there.
Right. To distract this administration from policy initiatives in making, you know, moving America forward, whether it's economics or whether it is the domestic policy that they've done so well on. My friend, great to have you on the program. Congressman Louis Gohmert, come back anytime.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas, a True Blue recipient last week. We spent a good bit of time talking last week. All right. Coming up next, a lot of talk about millennials and socialism. But are we using the right definitions or the same definitions? Scott Rasmussen joins me next with something that might surprise you. Don't go away. More Washington Watch right after this.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Check out the website. Lots of good information there for you. Join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. Find out more at TonyPerkins.com. All right, you've probably heard the old saying, if someone isn't a socialist at 20, they have no heart. But if anyone who isn't a conservative by 40, they have no brain. Well, that could be playing out in the Democratic Party. Who knows? But we hear all this talk about millennials being attracted to socialism. And, of course, for those of us who actually have studied history and been around a little bit longer and heard the tales from our parents and grandparents, socialism's appalling economic and humanitarian rights history is, well, like I said, it's appalling. But for those that are today, talking about socialism, they see it almost this naive approach, unrealistic prescriptions for ending all human want. I mean, are we talking about the same thing when we talk about socialism? Well, joining me now to talk about it is our good friend Scott Rasmussen. He is editor at large at Ballotpedia and knows a little bit about what people are thinking. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to talk with you. And, you know, this is a fascinating topic. The term socialism has become more popular among young people. In fact, some polls, including ours, have shown up to 40% of voters say they have a favorable opinion of socialism. But what they have in mind has no correlation to the historical understanding of that term.
Well, let's talk about it. What did they see socialism as?
Well, first thing, and this will be shocking to people who are, you know, a few more years under their belt, but 8 out of 10 people who say they like socialism also like free markets. Only 1 out of 3 believe that it will lead to higher taxes and a more powerful government. They do not tend to believe it means a centrally planned economy or any of the ideas associated with traditional socialism. They don't like the idea of the government owning the means of production. And, you know, I think one aspect to this, and I hear it a lot when I bring out these statistics, conservatives will say something like, well, that shows how stupid people are. You know, I'm not sure that's the best way to win them over. I think one thing that we have to recognize, the meaning of words change over time, and we need to find ways to connect to understand what they mean, what they think socialism means, and how we can find common ground. Because the really important fact is, while support for the term socialism is growing, support for truly socialist policies is not.
See, that's it. I think that's the key point, is you focus on the policies and not the labels. Because
right.
when you look at the polling data with some of the, like the new Green Deal, while there are some that clearly support that, it doesn't appear to be overwhelming. And when you look at the transfer or the redistribution of wealth that Bernie Sanders' policies call for, the support begins to decline.
Yeah, so we did a lot of polling on the Green New Deal, and the first thing is a lot of Americans have never heard of it. When you state the premise in terms that some of its advocates might use, you get a slight majority support. But then when you begin to ask about the policies, the support slips off. And where the difference is the, you know, we've been hearing that we should treat the climate change threat like World War II, that we need to have a massive campaign. Only 18% of voters say that we need to transfer more power to the federal government, to let them transform the economy to fight global warming. So, again, there's a maybe one out of five, one out of six people who would support at some level that those types of policies. But it's not much more than that. When you talk about Bernie Sanders' plan for Medicare for all, people like the idea and think it's very important. And by the way, it is very important that every American should be able to have access to quality health care.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask about the idea of getting rid of private insurance companies, we polled it several times, and you get 15, 17% support in that range. It is when you get to the policies that it makes a big difference. And, you know, Tony, your audience especially would appreciate the Apostle Paul didn't try to convince Jews they had to give up their faith to become Christians. He presented it as a natural extension and completion of their faith. And he didn't make Gentiles become Jews to become Christians. He focused on the common blessings of living in Christ and united them around that. We need to find ways to reach out to people on the positive agenda, focus on the policies. And yes, education is always good, but the labels aren't the thing that matter.
Well, I mean, you kind of set yourself up for the question I was going to ask you next, based on what you see in the polling and that this disconnect between the actual definition and the words. How should we be engaging those that may be attracted to the term socialist, but not necessarily to the policies once they're explained?
You know, I think, again, the first thing is talk about policies. If you talk about freedom and free markets, all the data shows that people who think they like socialism or who say they like socialism tend to like those things. You know, you have an 80% chance the person you're talking to likes free markets. Talk about those types of policies and what's important about them. I do think some of what we're seeing in the term socialism is perhaps a desire for a recognition that a ruthless market might need to be adjusted on the margins for people who are find themselves in difficult situations. There needs to be a clear understanding that we as a nation should be concerned about all of our citizens. But again, I think it's focusing on the policies. And Tony, I got to tell you, I have been researching this. You know, I took several years off, left my old polling company, came back and started polling last August. And I have been looking at this socialism question intensely. And right now I feel pretty confident I can talk about all the things that socialism doesn't mean to its fans today. The next phase of my work is to really get into what you were just talking about. How do we focus on that more positive side?
Well, I want you to come back and talk about it when you have the answer, because I think this is a fascinating conversation, because I think part of it might just be, you know, one generation kind of rebels or kind of, you know, standoffish or even pushes back on the previous generation. And I'm just wondering if maybe this is the shock effect of saying, well, I embrace socialism as a counter to capitalism. I don't know. We'll explore that.
That's
more.
Scott, part of it. Yeah.
Scott, thanks so much. Always great to have you
Thank
on.
You.
You know what you're talking about. I appreciate it so much. Scott Rasmussen, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And we are going to talk more about this because it's a big issue. Big issue. All right. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come as we delve into the numbers of refugees coming to the country. It's changed under the Trump administration. How so? Terry Jeffrey tells us next. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, for the first five months into the fiscal year, the Trump administration has admitted a total of 9,305 refugees into the United States. Now, this is an admission rate well below the average needed to meet the ceiling of 30,000 for FY19. Now, this is a big change. Now, you go back to the president saying that he wanted what was described as extreme vetting, making sure that those who came to the country, number one, should come to the country, did not pose a threat to this country, and in seeking asylum were truly being persecuted in their countries. Now, most of these coming from the Middle East. Now, the other good news here is that those religious minorities that were truly the target of persecution are now dominating those coming into the country. Here to talk about it is Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. Terry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tony.
Terry, you must have loved math when you were a kid, right? Because you do all these stories on numbers. You break down all the numbers, right? You like math?
Right. Well, hopefully numbers are factual, and these ones are reported by the U.S. government. Of course, this story was done by our foreign editor, Patrick Goodenough. But as you know, Tony, it is a tremendous turnaround because what we saw in the last years of the Obama administration is you had the rise of the Islamic State caliphate in Syria. They were literally committing genocide against Christians. And the Obama administration was letting massive numbers of refugees in from Syria, but almost all of them were Sunni Muslims, which is, of course, a religious denomination to which the Islamic State claimed they belonged. So rather than Christians coming in from Syria where they were being targeted by genocide, we had Sunni Muslims. So that was really a rather strange pattern, and it's a great thing to see it turned around.
So now we see the majority of these coming into the country are, in fact, Christians, the target. I mean, it was the Christians and Yazidis that were the most intensely targeted by ISIS and others. And so now we see them. Obviously, the numbers are down, which suggests that the extreme vetting is taking place. They're making sure these people do not pose a threat to the country. Is there a problem with that?
Right now, and it's also important that we are still letting refugees in because there are people who are, in fact, persecuted, particularly there's minority Christian populations, and they have nowhere to go. And the best place for them to go, if they are truly targeted by that kind of persecution, is here. And I do believe this country should welcome them. And I think that's what's happening here, is we're seeing a focus on people who are truly persecuted. They have definitely a well-founded fear of persecution in their homelands, and they're being admitted to the United States after they're vetted. I think it's an excellent thing.
So, a lot of criticism of the Trump administration saying they wanted to vet them. It took a time. You had to basically shut off the spigot a little bit to make sure you get the vetting process in place. And now, so they're starting to open it back up. Now, they probably won't reach the 30,000 for the year, but that's okay. In my view, look, as you say, it's a last resort. Most of these people are better off if we can provide safety in their own country. We're better off. The world's better off with that stabilizing force in Syria and elsewhere. But if we can take them into the country and not undermine our own security, America has done that for a long time. And I think this administration is pursuing it in a level-headed way that ensures America's security is at the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's another thing we want to keep in mind is we do not want to see the eradication of Christianity either through genocide or through forcing people out in parts of the world, particularly in a place like Syria, which is one of the places where Christianity started. I mean, this is where St. Paul went. And so at the same time we're bringing in refugees, I think we want to have an intelligent, focused foreign policy that does what the United States can do without being involved in needless wars and causing instability in other places, to try and protect Christians in their homelands so that they can stay.
Right. And it's not only to the benefit of those Christians, but to the entire region if you have a stabilizing force of diversity there. And that's why what's happening in the northeastern part of Syria is so important, where you have that pluralistic government that is basically self-government, religious freedom, one of the few outside, actually the only one outside of Israel in the Middle East. And so, yes, absolutely, that should be the first priority, is to keep them there in their home country, if possible, safely.
Right, if possible. And obviously in a place like Syria, it's extremely difficult. So progress being made is a wonderful thing.
Well, Terry, always I always find the pieces that CNS News puts out, especially when you break down the government's numbers, because, you know, people's eyes glaze over often with numbers. But when you break it down and you show the contrast, this shows to me that the Trump administration's policy is working.
Yep.
All right. Terry Jeffrey, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Tony.
All right. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News. .com. This is, I'm often asked, Tony, what are good news sources? This is one of them. All right, factual. You heard him right there. We like to take the numbers because, you know, you can look at the numbers. They're factual, and they do a good job. Terry is a veteran journalist and has been in Washington a long time. Thorough. Actually, I've never seen him. Not saying he hasn't, but I've never seen him make a mistake. Anyway, good trusted source, CNSnews.com. Check it out. All right, when we come back, Edward Graham, son of Franklin Graham, joins me from Alabama. He's on the ground there in the wake of these tornadoes. Don't go away. We get an update from there next.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. Samaritan's Purse is responding after a powerful storm spawning dozens of tornadoes ripped through Lee County, Alabama, Sunday evening, killing at least 23 and leveling entire neighborhoods. More than 10,000 homes and businesses are without power in the region. This is among the deadliest storms to strike the state in many years. Franklin Graham's son, Edward, just recently left the Army as an Army major, is now with Samaritan's Purse. He's on the ground right now in Lee County, Alabama, overseeing help for the victims of Alabama's tornadoes. Edward, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate you having me on this afternoon.
Well, we want to keep the our listening audience across the country informed and engaged. There's opportunities here to partner with Samaritan's Purse to help the victims, but give us some sense of what you're seeing there on the ground.
Okay, I appreciate it. We just landed here early this morning. We were down here with less than about 12 hours after the storm, able to fly in, and we just now have our teams arriving, our trucks coming in from Wilkesboro, North Carolina. I tell you what, the destruction is from, you know, you said I was in the military, and it looks a lot like a war zone. I tell you, just south of Opelika here in Lee County, Alabama, but just south in Beauregard, it's so bad, they're not even letting, if you don't have a badge or a first responder, they're not letting you in right now because they're still doing search and rescue. And they still have several people missing after the several that were already killed. I was down at Smith Station, Alabama, able to get in there, but just complete miles of destruction of homes completely destroyed. A lot of mobile homes here, mm-hmm. and so they were completely annihilated, and people without, you know, homes, power, it's pretty bad.
And, of course, behind that strong storm is a cold front. It's going to be, around freezing. A lot of people without power. Now, describe for our listeners, I'm very familiar with it because I've been with Samaritan's Purse a number of times in these disasters. Explain what you'll be doing over the next 72 hours initially and then longer term, obviously, helping to rebuild.
Yeah, so we just got here on the ground, and what we do first is we come in and we partner with a church, and we'll call it a Lighthouse Church. But right now we're partnered with First Baptist of Opelika with Pastor Jeff Myers. And I'll tell you what, this church has been incredible. They have bent over backwards in order to facilitate. They'll bring in lettuce using their kitchen, their house of worship in order to house our volunteers. Right now we've put out the call, and we've got over 200 volunteers that have signed up. But we'll start sending out teams tomorrow, chainsaw teams, skid steer teams. People will be going out tarping roofs and getting people so they can get back into their houses quickly, because there is another storm that's supposed to come in this weekend, and possibly more tornadoes this weekend with the different front that's moving in. But these teams will come in right away, partner with the church here, and we'll get them out. But we'll be here for several weeks at least, in order, from what I've seen, doing cleanup.
Well, tell Pastor Jeff I said hello. He was my pastor, actually the pastor at Greenville Springs, just prior to the...
He was all excited. Yeah, he was all excited that I was going to be on here today. So, his church has been great. They are setting the example of what partnership looks like early on.
Well, he's a great pastor and high energy and one to partner with. And we'll discuss with our church about sending over some teams to help in that process there, because they came over and helped Samaritan's Purse and us after the floods in Baton Rouge. So, how can folks around the country help Samaritan's Purse? Which, by the way, let me just say this: I've said it many times, our listeners know this, but I've seen firsthand the work of Samaritan's Purse, and if there was an organization I was going to partner with and have partnered with, it's Samaritan's Purse. So how can people join with you in this effort?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Really what we want is, most people say money, and that's not the case. We'd rather have your time. If you would like to volunteer and come back, you can easily come down here. You can sign up. You can go online and go to spvolunteer.org. Or you can even go to the SamaritansPurse.org website. But the nice thing about the SPVolunteer.org, and you go to the App Store and look for that as well, and it's an app, and it'll walk you right through it and sign you up in the volunteer process and how to get down here and start working. Like I said, when I last checked, we already had over 200, and that was about an hour ago. But we're going to be able to house probably about 100 volunteers down here at a time, as we rotate. And like I said, this is just not in and out. We'll be here for several weeks, and the church has agreed to that, at least. I wouldn't be surprised if you see, a couple months we're still down here helping clean up and tarp and get people back into their homes. But if you go to the website or that app, it'll talk you through it, and just sign up. And if you want to donate, you can do that as well. Maybe you're not able to come here and give your time and you'd rather donate, sure, we'll use that resource as well. But if you're willing to operate a chainsaw, move some equipment, get up on the roof and tarp it, you don't have to have experience. They'll talk you through it and give you safety instructions on how to do everything. But really, we're just here to be able to spread the name, to take advantage of the individuals and their time and need. We're here to take advantage of the storm. Yeah. And God has provided a way for us to get in and help these people and share Christ's love, and that's what we plan on doing.
And we'll encourage our folks to be praying for all of those that are over there, the families affected, the volunteers coming in to help and minister to them at this time. And tell Pastor Jeff, I'll see if I can't stir up a cooking team to bring some Cajun food over there.
Well, we'd appreciate it. I'm sure he'd be excited about that. But I tell you what, be praying for the first responders as well. They're getting after right now. This city's been a home since we've been here, to include at the airport, just watching the different helicopters, the state agencies that are down here. We were over at the Emergency Response Center earlier, and those first responders are tired. They've been working hard the last 24 hours, and they're not going to end anytime soon. And some of these first responders are, they lost two, and they lost houses, and they're still getting after it. So, and this city of Opelika and Beauregard have been greatly affected. So if you'd pray for them, we'd appreciate it.
We absolutely will. Edward, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll check back in with you later in the week to see how things are going.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Thank you for the time.
All right. Absolutely. Edward Graham with Samaritan's Purse on the ground in Alabama. And, these events are, they do appear to be coming more frequently. I was going back looking over the number of hurricanes in the last 15 years and how for almost 20 years, maybe one or two, and then just a series. Now, the left immediately say, well, that's climate change. Well, who knows what it is? Certainly the climate is changing. It's always changing. But we were also, let me just point to Scripture for a moment. Jesus also told his followers that, look, don't be overwhelmed with fear when you see these things unfolding. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. He even said, if you look in the actual Greek, that there would be events that created terror. Have we seen some of those? Yes. There would be earthquakes, famines, all of these natural disasters, but the end is not yet. And so the idea there is we got to keep our head about ourselves. But here's the opportunity, and Edward made reference to this, and this is Frank. This is why I like Franklin and his the whole team at Samaritan's Purse, is that number one, they rush into the place where there is a need, and they begin meeting the need in a very efficient and effective way. But they don't stop there. See, the government meets some of those needs. Now, I would argue that the government's not as effective because they're not using their own money. They're not good stewards of, and I'm not saying everything. I'm grateful for what our federal government does in these times of great need. But I'm just saying that when you see what Samaritan's Purse does and other organizations, you got the Southern Baptist, they do great work. So they're not the only ones, but I've just worked with them multiple times through hurricanes, through floods, and they just do it really well. But I'm getting distracted. They also share the gospel. They meet the deeper eternal need of individuals that oftentimes don't stop to really ask those questions until everything else has been taken away. And then they begin to think, you know, I thought this was my life and it's all gone. What is the meaning of life? It's one of the most fundamental questions we can ask. Why am I here? Who created me? What's the purpose for life? And when all of the things of this world are taken away, the distractions, so to speak, are gone, we're left with those very basic questions. And I saw it as I was pastoring during the flood in Baton Rouge, back in Baton Rouge, where literally hundreds, seeing no way out, desperate, had someone walking alongside them to meet the need, but then also sharing with them the gospel, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because we can get so distracted with the things of this life and of this world, the material things, that we never stop to ponder the deeper eternal things of life. Where we will spend eternity. Why are we here? What have we been created for? And so Samaritan's Purse does that. They do both in other ministries. The Southern Baptist and others, they do that. But why do I share that? Because if there is someone to partner with, it's with them. So I encourage you, as Edward said, to if you can go and volunteer and be a part of helping. And it's as we see more and more of these, I think it's so important as the body of Christ that we be on the front lines meeting the needs of individuals and sharing with them the hope that there is on the other side of this tragedy. Filled with challenges and tragedies, but it's more than that. As we have hope that transcends these events and these tragedies. So you can go to TonyPerkins.com. We've got it up there on the website where you can link over to SamaritansPurse.org. And if you can, volunteer, be a part of it. If you can't go, send resources. See if you can organize a group from your church. This is one of the things I envision seeing more and more churches that have these relief teams, these first responder teams that will partner with ministries like Samaritan's Purse when these events do occur and go down and spend, you know, a week. You don't have to spend forever down there, but go down for a week, help out, come back. But it'll be a long process. I've seen the rebuilding is a long, long process. This initial phase of recovery, then it's followed by the rebuilding. But anyway, I believe as believers, as Christians, we should do our best to minister in the communities. And when we can come in and into kind of being the backup for another church, a local church that's ministering, providing additional manpower and support, we absolutely should do that. So go to SamaritansPurse.com. and be a part of helping out those in Alabama that were hit so hard by these tornadoes. Okay, really don't have time to go to the phones, even though I would like to, because I really want to unpack this issue of socialism. Because I'm sure that some of you are probably hearing it, maybe from your kids, I don't know, neighbors, coworkers, and this is, we're in a real moment of education. When we look at the socialist agenda that's being discussed, when we look at the absolute disregard for human life, you've heard it on this program, where we've, and we're going to hopefully talk about this more this week as well, that people, when they look at really what is behind the abortion agenda and what, so far, all of the, I think we're up to 12 or 13 Democratic presidential candidates have not distanced themselves at all from New York or from the governor of Virginia, who have essentially said that birthday abortions are fine, which is infanticide, which is murder. And people are saying, whoa, wait a minute. I kind of consider myself pro-choice, but I'm not for that. How far will they push this abortion agenda? I think this is a teachable moment. I think it is a critical moment. I think it is a moment of decision for America. And I am, you know, I guess I have to borrow from Thomas Jefferson, I tremble when I think that God is just, and that if we get this wrong, that his justice will not be delayed forever. That I know abortion is horrible. But we're taking another step. This is a whole new chapter in failing to see the sanctity of human life, that we would murder babies that are born. We've got to get this right. So partner with us. Go to TonyPerkins.com and help us send a very visible, clear message to Nancy Pelosi with endbirthdayabortion.com, or just go to TonyPerkins.com. It's at the top of the page. And help us send 90,000 of these thermal baby caps to Nancy Pelosi. And we're going to work with the pro-life members, all of those, regardless of what party they might be in. We're going to get the 218 signatures necessary for the discharge petition to pass this bill. So help us do that. Okay, folks, out of time. But thank you for being here today. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.